take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
then and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show, coming to you live and direct from beautiful, legal Potland, Oregon, in the brand new Delta 9 Studios. And I'm pretty excited because yesterday we finally got a couch. Been in this house for almost a month, no couch, and been sitting on bar stools and benches, and it's just nice to have a couch. It's the little things in life you have to appreciate to really get the most out of this, don't you think? Anyway, it's the last day of November. December is right on the horizon, and this will be my last day talking to you live until December 19th. That's right, extended break here on the Russ Belville Show. And I know we just had an extended break, and my apologies for the way the schedules worked out. But tomorrow and Friday, I will be a part of Portland Weed Week. It's happening right now. You can check it out online at pdxweedweek.com. It's already going on today. They're doing a cannabis crawl. They're visiting all of these dispensaries and other businesses here in Portland on three different neighborhoods. So that's happening right now. Tomorrow and Friday, I am the MC for the panels that are happening at the Left Bank Annex, and lots of different tracks going on, cultivation and social use and medical use and business, all sorts of things happening there. I'll be emceeing it all. And again, pdxweedweek.com's got all the info. General admission tickets are $99. VIP is $199, but you'll want to get that VIP today because the only thing that's VIP that's happening is the cannabis-infused dinner tonight. Cannabis-infused dinner, all sorts of interesting edible items, but only for the VIPs. That's $199. Otherwise, $99 for general admission. And don't forget, on Sunday, it's absolutely free. You don't have to have a ticket for Sunday. It's the Northwest Cannabis Classic, and you can get samples. You want to check that out. So pdxweedweek.com. I'm gone for Thursday and Friday for that. And then starting on the next week, the week of the 5th and the week of the 12th, I'll be in Jamaica. That's right. I'm going to Jamaica for vacation. My first non-working travel vacation, unplug, be off the internet kind of time in a long, long time, folks. Probably since I've started this show, and this is show number 871. So, yeah, about time I took a vacation. So we're headed to Jamaica. I'll post a few pictures and bring you back some stories. All right, on today's show, those of you out there listening who, it doesn't matter who you vote for, they're both the same. Oh, there's no difference between them. America be just as screwed. Well, we've got a new revelation from the incoming Trump administration. He has selected Representative Tom Price to be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. This guy, he already picked Jeff Sessions for the Attorney General, like the most anti-pot guy you could get from the Senate. Now he's picked the most anti-pot guy that you could get from the House to head up HHS. We'll talk about that coming up in our Cannabis Radio News, but also coming up at the end of this hour, joining us from the Brookings Institute, we got John Hudak. He's going to tell us all about Representative Price and just what this could mean. How bad could it get if Health and Human Services wanted to make a statement about medical marijuana? We'll get that from John coming up at the end of the hour. Before that, we've got some Cannabusiness Chronicles. We've got Sarah Gullickson joining us. She's with dispensarypermits.com. Help you get your business started right. We'll also talk a little bit about President Obama's exit interview with Rolling Stone, and in drug war data mining, the impossibility of the marijuana breathalyzer. That's all coming up. Plus, Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio will take your calls. But first, we're back with the news.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing, so are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo!
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. President-elect Donald Trump has announced his choice of Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia, to head the Department of Health and Human Services. The Washington Post reports that, quote, Price is one of the most consistently anti-marijuana members of Congress, voting against a number of marijuana proposals before the House in recent years, end quote. While federal drug laws are the purview of the Department of Justice, where Mr. Trump has chosen the Senate's greatest drug warrior, Jeff Sessions, HHS could penalize doctors or sue sellers who work with medical marijuana in the 28 states where it is legal. HHS also controls Medicare and Medicaid and could conceivably use their reimbursements to physicians as leverage to restrict medical marijuana recommendations. Representative Price has earned a grade of D from both Normal and Drug Policy Alliance for his consistent record voting against medical and recreational marijuana law reform. However, Representative Price has supported the expansion of industrial hemp and a limited measure preventing the Justice Department from interfering with states that allow the medical use of cannabidiol. Alaska has begun receiving its first tax payments from marijuana businesses 1 month after the start of legal pot sales. The Department of Revenue said the first cash deposit from a pot shop came Monday. Leif Abel, co-owner of Greatland Ganja in Kasseloff, became the second owner to pay when he dropped off $5,600 in tax money on Tuesday, KTUU-TV reported. The state has set up a deposit safe at the Permanent Fund Dividend Office for business owners to drop off their tax payments. It's Alaska's only in-person drop site for cash. The payment process helps owners avoid having to deal with banks that are leery about working with pot businesses because marijuana remains illegal at the federal level. Business owners can also submit payments by mail, wire transfer, or electronically, according to officials. 83-year-old Willie Nelson may be the best-known marijuana smoker and country musician on Earth, but now he is no longer the oldest. 84-year-old Loretta Lynn, subject of the 1980 biopic Coal Miner's Daughter, for which Sissy Spacek won the Academy Award for Best Actress, admits in an interview with People magazine that she tried smoking marijuana this year to treat her glaucoma. However, unlike the redheaded stranger, Loretta Lynn didn't have a good experience with the herb. Quote, "I took one smoke off of it and it hit me right here in the chest," said Lynn. "I like to have died. Glaucoma is just going to have to take over," end quote. Still, she defended her pal Willie's recreational use of pot. Quote, "He's one of the greatest people in the whole world," Lynn says. "I know he smokes pot, but my goodness, there's a lot of people doing a lot worse than smoking pot," end quote. A defensive tackle for the NFL's Miami Dolphins has been cut from the team after his arrest for marijuana possession in Florida Tuesday night. Leon Orr, age 24, was pulled over by police for suspicion of illegally tinted windows on his car, according to the arrest report by Collier County deputies. Claiming he could smell marijuana, the officer ordered Orr out of the car. Upon the subsequent pat-down search, Orr was allegedly found to have marijuana, as well as what local TV news reports called Kush syrup and THC. Orr was charged with possession of marijuana under 20 grams, a misdemeanor, and possession of a controlled substance, presumably the syrup. Orr, a Florida native, played 3 games for the Raiders last season and 5 games for the Dolphins this season. A California pilot forced to land a small plane in New Mexico because of mechanical problems has been arrested after authorities found nearly 118 pounds of marijuana. Roswell, New Mexico police say 37-year-old Michael Armando Teixeira of Gilroy is being held at the Chavez County Detention Center on suspicion of distribution of a controlled substance. It was unclear Tuesday if he has a lawyer yet. Teixeira landed at the Roswell International Air Center last Friday night. Federal Aviation Administration officials at the airport discovered that the plane didn't have a flight plan on file. Police got a search warrant after marijuana odor was detected. That led to the discovery of 117.9 pounds of high-grade marijuana packaged in several large bags inside the plane. Police say Teixeira isn't the registered owner of the aircraft. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Do you want to get in on the booming cannabis industry? With New Frontier Data, we give industry insiders the power of big data analytics to help navigate this rapidly growing and changing landscape. New Frontier's tools help you make critical decisions based on the facts. Our industry analyst reports reveal the best opportunities, our custom research engagements deliver answers to the most difficult questions, and our cutting-edge big data platform, Equio, puts real-time information and answers you need right at your fingertips. Go to www.equio.io and sign up for your free membership today. That's EQUIO.io to sign up now. The power of real-time big data is now in your hands. Run with New Frontier and let us help you conquer the wild.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at a piece in Rolling Stone magazine where editor Jan Wenner has interviewed Barack Obama, our president, as he leaves the Oval Office. He's basically referring to it as the exit interview. And it was conducted the day after the election. So a lot of it concentrates on the incoming Trump administration, disappointment in Hillary Clinton's loss, and so forth. But there were two questions asked of President Obama that directly had to do with the legalization of marijuana. And I just wanted to read them in their entirety. There's been a lot of reporting on these, but just to give you the full gist of what's going on in the president's own words. So the question was, you can now buy marijuana legally on the entire West Coast. So why are we still waging the war on drugs? It is a colossal failure. Why are we still dancing around the subject and making marijuana equivalent to a Schedule I drug? President Obama answers, look, I've been very clear about my belief that we should try to discourage substance abuse, and I am not somebody who believes that legalization is a panacea. But I do believe that treating this as a public health issue, the same way we do with cigarettes or alcohol, is the much smarter way to deal with it. Typically, how these classifications are changed are not done by presidential edict, but are done either legislatively or through the DEA. As you might imagine, the DEA, whose job it is historically to enforce drug laws, is not always going to be on the cutting edge about these issues. The next question, what about you? Are you going to get on the cutting edge? President Obama answers, look, I am now very much in lame duck status, and I will have the opportunity as a private citizen to describe where I think we need to go. But in light of these referenda passing, including in California, I've already said, and as I think I mentioned on Bill Maher's show, where he asked me about the same issue, that it is untenable over the long term for the Justice Department or the DEA to be enforcing a patchwork of laws where something that's legal in one state could get you a 20-year prison sentence in another. So this is a debate that is now ripe, much in the same way that we ended up making progress on same-sex marriage. There's something to this whole states being laboratories of democracy and an evolutionary approach. You now have about a fifth of the country where this is legal. So those are the main points President Obama wanted to make. My take on a couple of these, again, he says how the classifications referring to marijuana being Schedule I are not done by presidential edict. He says typically they're not done by presidential edict. And that's true, typically, because they've never been changed by presidential edict. We have had drugs that have been reclassified. Marinol is a classic example. It was originally Schedule II, and then it was reclassified as Schedule III, but that was done by the DEA. However, technically, President Obama could change this by presidential edict. Both he and the Attorney General have the power to reclassify on their own, just their own signature. So when he says typically, what he's referring to is the political nature of changing these classifications, not the legal or statutory nature of changing these classifications. He could change it, but the political price would probably be too high to pay. However, if you're a lame duck president and you got nothing to lose with a Trump coming in, you might as well reclassify it. Force Trump to have to put weed back into Schedule One. Like, deschedule it on your way out of office. Do like Governor Corzine did in New Jersey, and on the last day he was in office, he signed medical marijuana, made it legal, and then, you know, sat it on Chris Christie's lap. So do the same thing, President Obama. On your last day in office, January 19th, by executive order, by whatever it has to be done, take marijuana out of Schedule One. And force the incoming administration to have to put it back into Schedule One, and for them to have to explain why it has to be back into Schedule One to an American population where 89% of the people believe marijuana should be legal for medical purposes, where 3 out of 5 Americans, including those 29 electoral votes in Florida, like their legal medical marijuana. Force them to have to be the bad guys on this issue. It's about time that Democrats started forcing things, right? Like playing hardball. This has been my biggest complaint all my political life about the left, is this inability to take the game seriously and play it for keeps and force the other guys and treat them like the enemy and force them into bad positions. All right, we're back with Drug War Data Mining.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
CannabisRadio.com proudly presents the newest and greatest podcast in the galaxy, The Real Dirt with Chip Baker, your insider industry connection to accurate and entertaining information about cannabis technology, production, cultivation, and everything in between. Rolling joints and dropping knowledge about cannabis technology, production, cultivation, and everything in between. The future of legal cannabis has arrived, and we want to give you The Real Dirt with Chip Baker. Look for new episodes at CannabisRadio.com, TheRealDirt.com, or subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
I'm Radical Russ from The Russ Belville Show. Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, is here.
The single most important victory will be California.
We've got Steve D'Angelo.
Well, the state of cannabis affairs in California is in flux.
The guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal.
It's better for people to be using concentrates.
Weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and The Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mining segment, I want to take a look at a piece on Forbes.com. It's entitled, More Americans Are Smoking Marijuana and Driving, But Identifying Them is Tricky. And right off the bat, the title of it already gives me pause. If it's tricky to identify the people who are smoking and driving on pot, how much of a problem is it really? It's like, gee, we can't tell if you're stoned. You're driving so well. So here's the story. The basics of it is about the fight to try to create the marijuana breathalyzer. And not necessarily breath. It could be saliva or urine or blood or, I don't know, a laser they shine on you. I don't know. They're trying to find a magic number machine that can tell them it's okay to punish this pot smoker. That's what they want. For so long, and it's partially our fault, for so long we said treat marijuana like alcohol, treat marijuana like alcohol, and they're saying, okay, where's the breathalyzer? Alcohol has a breathalyzer. It's funny how they're not so concerned about giving us bars and places to be able to consume publicly like alcohol, but boom, they jumped right to the breathalyzer. Nevertheless, they talk about Marilyn Huestis. She used to be at the National Institutes of Drug Abuse. Now she's involved in some of these companies, you know, consulting with them, trying to put together these special marijuana breathalyzer type machines. And she does point out that there's just no good way to pull this off. And here's some of the data. First of all, some states use saliva tests. Australia is a country that uses saliva tests to detect recent use of marijuana, but THC in saliva doesn't correlate well with THC in the blood. And not to mention THC in the blood doesn't correlate well with impairment, right? So now you got a double does not correlate well. And when you smoke marijuana or eat marijuana, the inside lining of your mouth gets higher THC levels than what is really going on in your body. You're kind of coated with THC. So you take a swab, you know, just like if you know how you live in a house for a long time, you take a picture off the wall, you can see where the smoke is because the picture, you know, it's cleaner behind the picture. Same idea with your mouth. You're smoking weed, there's going to be this coating in your mouth, and it's going to be much higher than what's really in your bloodstream. So they say with that, it might take 2 or 3 hours to come down to a level that's really matching what's in your blood. So saliva is no good. Blood tests. Now, we've got, you know, Washington State, 5 nanogram per se DUID. A lot of states that are zero tolerance when it comes to a blood test detecting active THC. And we're talking about active THC here, folks, not the metabolites in a pee test in these examples. So the active THC, well, the problem there with the blood test is you typically don't get the blood test until 1.5 to 4 hours after someone's been pulled over or after an accident has happened. Just in the time it takes to do the booking and the arrest and taking them down to the place and getting the warrant to be able to take the blood or getting the permission, whatever. All of that takes time. And then from 90 minutes to 4 hours later, well, your THC blood levels have dropped. So again, Hastus, who, you know, worked with National Institutes of Drug Abuse, no fan of weed, says that those tests don't really tell you what was going on with the driver at the time they were driving either. And she says that blood levels dropped well below the legal threshold within 3.5 hours of inhaling vaporized THC. So they're saying that, you know, this isn't going to be a good measure, a way to measure whether or not someone is impaired. Now, the drunken driving has declined. Drugged driving has increased, according to statistics from National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Every time they mention this, I always just want to point out, could that be correlative? Could there be fewer drunk drivers now because more people are smoking weed? And if the drug driving is going up less than the drunk driving is going down, isn't that a net benefit for society? Regardless, let's go on with the data. They say the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration does surveys of roadside use where they collect data. And they found that in 2013, 1.5% of weekend drivers were at blood alcohol above the legal limit of 0.08. But that was an 80% drop since over the past 4 decades. So drunk driving has gone way down. Now, THC in their system, they didn't start measuring this until 2007. Now, 2007, they found 8.6% of the drivers on the weekend had THC in their system. By 2013, it was up to 12.6%. That's a jump of almost half. But the problem is, this survey is just looking for any THC in blood or saliva. So all they found out is that there's more pot smokers, or pot smokers are smoking more often, but not necessarily that we've got more impaired drivers on the road. And the thing that's most problematic about all of this is that overall traffic fatalities are down. The roadways are safer than they've ever been. So if the point is getting roadway safety and we're having safer roads, why is there this terrible concern about people that might be pot smokers getting behind the wheel? If we were any sort of massive danger to the public, we would have seen incredible increases in roadway deaths throughout the 60s and 70s. Pot smoking was more prevalent in 1979, far more prevalent in 79 than it was today. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Cannabusiness Chronicles, we're gonna talk with Sarah Gullickson, the CEO and owner of DispensaryPermits.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour. We'll get to the Canna Business Chronicles. We're still trying to get Sarah Gullickson on the line. She's the CEO of DispensaryPermits.com. You can look them up on the web. They are helping people out getting their retail cannabis businesses put together, and we really want to be able to talk to her, but the Google chat hasn't connected yet. She hasn't accepted the Google chat yet. So in the meantime, we will keep you entertained with another example of our anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
I'm not saying he's a loser or anything. He's a dork.
Dork!
Yeah. I mean, no, we're not like, you know, we're having fun being cool. And he's just into different stuff. Well, I hang out with my friends mostly.
Girls think I'm cool.
But he's, you know, I'm into sports. Well, I used to be into sports, but now,
Yeah, chicks dig me.
Well, I guess he has friends, too. I think having girlfriends is okay, but, you know.
We like to party, right?
Guys like him, they don't like to party. Like we do. You know, we're having a lot of fun.
Truth is, there's a million things to do that are more fun than sitting around getting stoned.
Yeah, we like to party. Did I say that already?
Think about it.
This is a vial of crack, rock cocaine. As you may have noticed, it doesn't come with a warning label. If it did, it might tell you that smoking crack affects the brain, the nervous system, the lungs, and the heart. It would also say that crack can kill you. The problem is, no one knows exactly how much it takes to do it. So every time you try it, it's a guessing game. And if you guess wrong with this stuff, you die.
In the next few months, the motion picture industry and theater owners will be bringing you a series of messages like the one you just saw. I don't think anybody will miss the point. The thrill can kill. The drug dealers need to know that we want them out of our schools, neighborhoods, and our lives. And the only way to do that is to take the customers away from the product. Say no to drugs and say yes to life.
Of course, your local drug pusher may tell you a little something different about these drugs. And who you believe is up to you. But then again, if you go ahead and try them, at least it won't be out of ignorance. Just stupidity. What would I do if someone offered me these drugs? I'd tell him to take a hike.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
All right, folks, my apologies. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to get Sarah on the line, but we'll get her rescheduled sometime in December. We'll talk to them at dispensarypermits.com. In the meantime, we're getting ready for our next guest coming up in our next segment, Government at Work, one of our favorites, John Hudak from the Brookings Institute. We're going to get deep into the politics of Donald Trump's selections of Representative Tom Price for Health and Human Services and Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. In the meantime, we've got this clip from the Boston Freedom Rally this year. This is former NFL player Boo Williams, my interview with him on marijuana and football.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here, day two of the 27th annual Boston Freedom Rally. We're here backstage at the main stage with Boo Williams. Played, what was it, five, six seasons in the NFL?
I played six, man. I played six with the New Orleans Saints.
Right on, New Orleans Saints. And you were up on stage emceeing, made a couple references to your NFL career and how the players now are recognizing cannabis as something that can be very beneficial for the head trauma. Give folks a little taste of what you're telling the folks.
Man, the thing is, with us athletes, we go through things that most people really don't understand what we go through. You know, we're all beat up and battered, and we just need a little bit of relief. We really don't want to take the pharmaceutical way, but the only way, you know, they force us to do is the pharmaceutical way. So we're looking for more holistic, you know, treatment, and cannabis is really the only way to go. Because if you look at it, you know, athletes are coming up every other day, we're being tested for marijuana. But what people really didn't know was only two sports that test for marijuana and publicly release your name is basketball and football.
Yeah.
But Major League Baseball and hockey and soccer, they don't expose your name or don't test for marijuana.
Wow, that's fantastic news that we get to get these other sports leagues example followed to the NFL and the NBA, which is a good idea here. You know, it's always strikes me as funny, you know, we see these headlines of guys like Josh Gordon, you know, being sat out a season, gets reduced to 10 games. Von Miller, Super Bowl 50 MVP, had to sit out four or six games. What do you think of the NFL's attitude toward this, and when are they going to change?
Man, I think the NFL attitude towards athletes using cannabis is really in a negative way, because if they really look at it, we really use it to medicate. You know, we go home, we need it to stop all the fast thinking that's going on throughout our day. We want to be able to stop, slow down, and be able to process what's going on. And cannabis really helps us in that way, because we're usually going 100 miles per hour every day, and you're being taught to not think, only just react. So sometimes you need that little cannabis to help you sit back, think, analyze things, so you can be able to have a nice life.
So not just a painkiller or against concussions, but also the mental aspect
the
of
mental,
it. Being able to
mental.
Slow things down.
Yes, the mental aspect, and that's the thing that we want to do the most, is slow down so we can be able to soak things in, like this great cannabis freedom rally that we're
Hell
at.
Yeah.
You know, this is things that you soak up, and you go places like this, and you really, you look at things like this, and you say, man, wow, this is something that's special. But when you're playing professional sports, you're going so fast, you don't even get a chance to even enjoy things like this.
You know, people are getting more and more aware of the concussion issue and the CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Eugene Monroe from the Ravens just retired after 7 years and asked if he'd let his son play football. He's like, I don't know anymore. Do you worry about the future of football as people get more aware of this? And do you think cannabis could save football?
Man, you know what? I say the same thing. You know, I talk to Eugene on a daily basis. Me and him are great friends. And I say the same thing. I don't know if I'm going to let my son play. because you know, the game is way much different than when we played it. It's a lot much safer, but at the same time you have kids that are bigger than me crashing into each other like cars.
Yeah.
So there's really no, in you know, really way to end all the injuries that go on. But the thing is, if we put our kids in some different sports like basketball, like golf, like baseball, some of these sports that are not contact sports, you know, we might be able to save some lives. And then just like my slogan says on my shirt, saving lives and changing minds.
Yeah, people got to realize that a Cam Newton or a Ben Roethlisberger quarterback size now is what offensive linemen used to be back in the day. So
yeah.
it's increased the speed and the size, the mass, the collisions. It's just a whole different sport. Do you think there's things the NFL can do? I mean, I hear some old school guys say go back to the leather helmets. What do you think of that?
Man, you know what? You cannot go back to the leather helmets. But you know what? I know some teams that are really taking this tactic and they're running off with it. They're really bringing in rugby players to come and teach NFL guys how to tackle.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, rugby guys don't tackle with their head.
Hell no.
They tackle with their shoulders, and they're very good at it. So they're bringing in a lot of guys to show these guys a different way of tackling. But at the same time, when we're going at 100 miles per hour at opposite directions, you know, when we crash into each other, that's just something that just happens.
Boo Williams, you got Booberry Cares on your shirt here. Tell folks about Booberry.
Man, Booberry Cares is my new athletic CBD line. I'm coming out with the rub, I'm coming out with the vape pen and the oil, and I'm coming out with CBD water, flavored water. So this is, and it's also a brand that's heavily committed in the community. We're also on a tour right now. We're stopping in at the Freedom Rally, and I'm hosting, and this is kicking off the Booberry Cares tour. So from here, we're leaving to go into New York, and we're doing a lot of community service along the way. Children's hospitals, homeless shelters, and things of that nature.
It's Booberry, but bear spelled like a teddy bear, right? Boo, B-E-A-R-Y, and Booberry Cares. Is there a website, Facebook, that kind of stuff?
Yes, you can go to our Facebook page, or you can just type in on Google, you can type in Booberry Cares, and everything will come up right under that. I'm just really blessed to be in a position where I can be manufacturing my own products and having the first athletic line that's out. And I'm hoping that, you know, the things, you know, that we're doing rubs off on America and other people to where they can get out in the community, use that stage that you have, and change others' lives.
Boo Williams, thanks for speaking out and you know, trying to get some care to the players. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, oh, man, thanks for having me. I'm just having a great time at the rally, and like I said, I wish this could be every day.
Right on, man.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Seeking a career in cannabis? Ready to become the next great budtender? Increase your knowledge, skills, and higher ability with a Trichome certification today. Trichome Institute is the only cannabis education company in the world with courses that include textbooks, workbooks, an expert-approved and government-certified curriculum. Trichome now offers these courses online. Take the courses at your own pace with 24/7 live human support from anywhere in the world. These courses are perfect for physicians, pharmacists, MMJ parents or patients, adult use customers, and most of all, aspiring budtenders. The course includes full access to the cannabis industry's largest job board and even includes resume building help. Register for online courses with the cannabis industry's educational leader in science, education, and training. Visit TrichomeInstitute.com today.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
We do have John McAfee. He's running for the Libertarian Party nomination for president. What makes someone like you want to take the reins of this?
We are so far behind, it's frightening. And in a cyber war, we can't hack into the Chinese. Back in 1979, they started building cyber defense systems. We didn't even think about it until 20 years ago. I see no candidates and certainly no one within government capable of dealing with this issue.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. It's 45 after the hour, and joining us for our government at work segment today, we've got John Hudak, a fellow at the Brookings Institute, an expert in marijuana policy. And John, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you here, and thanks for taking the call on short notice.
Hey, Russ, as always, thanks a ton.
Oh, yes. I was reading Christopher Ingraham's piece in the Washington Post about the selection of Representative Tom Price for Health and Human Services, and this one caught me off guard. I had just barely recovered from Senator Sessions being picked for AG. Give our listeners a little bit of a rundown on this Representative Price and what his selection at HHS could mean for the marijuana industry.
Well, Representative Tom Price is a very conservative Republican congressman from Georgia. He's been in the U.S. House for a little over 10 years, and he is someone who has voted against even the most minor marijuana policy reforms that have come to a vote in the U.S. House. He is someone, his background is he's a surgeon, he's a physician, and it, by every measure, seems like the marijuana industry and the marijuana advocacy movement's worst nightmare to head HHS.
Now, HHS, Health and Human Services, what would they be controlling that could affect? I mean, people know about Department of Treasury when it comes to the banking situation. They know about DOJ when it comes to the DEA and raids and such. What would HHS impact?
HHS is one of the largest cabinet departments in the United States, and under its purview is the FDA, is NIDA, and it controls not just funding for marijuana research, but it controls one half of the decision making over rescheduling. It is the healthcare conglomerate of the United States, and what President-elect Trump has chosen to do is put atop that agency a doctor who seemingly is conservatively trained, and that's not from political ideology conservatism, but conservative about the practice of medicine, someone who by all accounts is an opponent of marijuana, and not just marijuana for recreational use, but marijuana for medical use. What he has voted against as a congressman has been reforms oriented around medical marijuana. So we're not talking about someone who says, hey, you shouldn't use, I'm a doctor, you shouldn't use pot just for fun. This is someone who is voting against provisions that would help medical marijuana. And I think that that should be alarming, frankly, for your community of listeners. This is not an advocate. This is not someone who is going to push policy forward in a reform direction. This is someone who thinks like the 1950s or 1960s or worse when it comes to marijuana.
My goodness. I had opened the show by describing Senator Sessions as probably the top pot opponent in the Senate. Is it fair to call Price the top pot opponent in the House?
Well, I don't know if I would go that far, only because there's a lot of pot opponents in the House. But he is certainly someone who is opposed to it pretty strongly. And I think if you combine with that his medical training, you know, you could have a conversation with someone without medical training who you can say to them, listen, take a look at this medical evidence. Take a look at the research that's being done here in the United States, in Israel, in the UK, and elsewhere, and let it open your eyes. Mm. But I think what Dr. Price brings to the table is the ability to say, no, I'm a doctor. I don't believe in this. And to feel firm and strong in those convictions, whether you believe those convictions are right or wrong. This isn't someone who can say, well, I'm not a doctor. I guess I can be convinced on this. This is someone who can say, I am a doctor and I don't believe this. And clearly the evidence that is out there about the medical efficacy of cannabis is not convincing Tom Price. And it's not going, it didn't convince him as a congressman from Georgia, and I can't imagine it will convince him as the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Now, as people in my community are reviewing these selections, they keep pointing back to Donald Trump on the campaign trail saying that he thought legalization was a states' rights issue, laboratories of democracy, and that he was 100% behind medical marijuana. Gosh, these picks almost seem as if maybe he was saying one thing and doing another. I can't imagine, John.
Well, there's two approaches here. I think one is if you're going to take Donald Trump's campaign promises at their word, you're probably new to politics because he's not someone who seems to be willing to commit to campaign statements, past statements, marital vows, really anything that he has taken a stake in. But at the same time, if you want to take Donald Trump's words to heart, that he thinks this is a states' rights issue, that could be something that is appealing to Tom Price, who has advocated for states' rights in certain contexts, for Jeff Sessions, who has also done the same. In reality, Tom Price and Jeff Sessions love states' rights as long as states' rights advance their pre-existing ideological beliefs. But there is an important silver lining here, and that is this. At the end of the day, if Tom Price is confirmed, if Jeff Sessions is confirmed, their boss is still the President of the United States. And if the President of the United States says, listen, I don't want to pick a fight with this community, let's just let this be, I'd rather overturn Obamacare, I'd rather crack down on immigration, but just let's not waste our energy on marijuana policy. The President has the power to stop those appointees from chasing after that. I mean, look at Obama, for instance. Loretta Lynch is no benefactor to the marijuana reform community. But the president has clearly laid out his vision, and it has kept Loretta Lynch from being ideologically opposed to reform. If, as president, Trump can do that, it can rein in Sessions and Price. But if he just says, you know what, I don't care, you guys do whatever you want with this, it's going to be damnation for the industry.
Well, let's look at what the damnation could include, at least coming from Health and Human Services. The quotes I saw from you in the Post brokered things like Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements being possibly withheld to physicians that recommend cannabis. Give us some of those nightmares that you can come up with.
One of the things that hold a lot of doctors back, and I think this is actually largely misunderstood in the medical marijuana reform community, or at least among patients. There are doctors out there who, from a training point of view, from a medical research point of view, or even from an experience point of view, would be more than happy to recommend cannabis, but they belong to a hospital, or they belong to a doctor's group, or some other HMO, or some other kind of practice, that a general counsel steps in and says, you're absolutely not doing this. It puts everyone at risk. It creates tremendous liability. And then that's the end of the road. That's the answer that they have to take. It's true for hospitals. It's true for a variety of organizations, because the bread and butter for a lot of doctors, for a lot of groups, and for a lot of hospitals is Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. Well, as HHS Secretary, Tom Price can push that envelope. He can try to penalize individuals, groups, organizations, and hospitals if they recommend medical cannabis by saying, listen, this is an illegal substance, and you're violating federal law, and you're no longer entitled to federal benefits. It's not clear whether he will win on that if he were to do it, but it is a risk that doctors feel at their core. I mean, this is an existential, this is a financial issue for doctors. And if you start to sort of sully those reimbursements, really put those in jeopardy, you can upend an entire system quite easily.
How about on the FDA side, as far as, I mean, these states are, you know, recommending or recognizing marijuana as a medicine, and FDA has the purview over what's called medicine. What could they do in that regard?
Well, in that regard, they can start suing companies mostly companies, but any group that claims that marijuana is medicine. Medicine is actually something that has a unique definition according to the federal government, and that is it's not medicine unless the government says it's medicine. So if something has not been proven to have efficacy, if it has not been proven to show that it has therapeutic benefit for a given condition, no one is allowed to say that it does. And if you find out that medical marijuana dispensaries say, hey, this strain helps with epilepsy, or this strain helps boost your appetite if you have clinical anorexia from end-stage AIDS or chemotherapy, or if you say this strain helps with glaucoma, you are violating what the FDA considers policy, and they can crack down on that. And I think this claim of marijuana as medicine makes sense to a lot of patients. It frankly makes sense to a lot of non-patients, but it doesn't make sense to FDA. And as the head of HHS, the head of FDA is his subordinate. And I think there are a multitude of opportunities that the new administration will have, not necessarily to win on everything they try to do to affect the marijuana industry and the advocacy community, but they're going to get some wins if they want them. And what it means is the landscape for policy here on out is uncertain. And uncertainty is always a bad thing for public policy.
We've got about 90 more seconds with you, John Hudak from Brookings Institute. One of the rejoinders I get from people is, yeah, but we've got 8 states now legal. We got 28 medical. There's so much money being made. The states won't want the feds interfering. Do you think there's an economic argument to Trump keeping hands off?
There's an economic argument for Trump to keep hands off. I think that argument works very strongly with him as a businessman. I don't think it works with Jeff Sessions. I don't think it works with Tom Price. If it did, then you would see them as supporters of the Affordable Care Act, which has absolutely exploded the revenues of the healthcare industry right now. But Donald Trump, oddly, is going to be have the opportunity to be the savior here, because he thinks in terms of dollars and cents, and Price and Sessions do not. And so, oddly, people might end up seeing Donald Trump as the saving grace, protecting the industry from the appointees who he ended up selecting.
Well, that would fit in his reality TV show persona to create the foil, you know, create the heel, and then be the good guy that comes in and saves the day. John Hudak from Brookings, I want to thank you for joining us. And do you have any website or book or anything you'd like to tell our listeners about before you go?
Absolutely. You can read all of our research, mine and my colleagues, at our website, brookings.edu. And I encourage everyone to buy my new book, Marijuana, A Short History, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at the Brookings Press website.
Fantastic. Brookings.edu. Check it out. John, thanks again for joining us, and have yourself a great time out here on the West Coast.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
All right. That's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned in hour two. We got a note back from Sarah Gullickson. We're going to have her back on after our safety briefing, so that'll be good. We'll learn more about dispensarypermits.com. Also coming up in hour two, I got to talk about Goldilocks. I'm telling you, marijuana industry, you better legalize and put your money around to legalize as much as possible, because Goldilocks is coming. I'll tell you who Goldilocks is when we get back. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.